Morning, church. We are, our text this morning is of James 1, from verse 19. So if you can turn to James 1. Okay. I'm in a box here. I'll try again. Is it better? James 1, verse 19 to 27. Let's read together. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you will speak to your children. Teach us your word, Lord. I pray that all here will hear and act as your word requires. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Some scholars say that the book of James starts as an epistle, but that the most of the book is rather a collection of wisdom sayings, like the genre or the wisdom literature of, as we see in the Old Testament. I will argue against this, and I will argue for a strong central theme in the book of James. But as we start in James 1 verse 19, it starts with a wisdom saying. It says, let's read it again. Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And if we think of the wisdom sayings, it correlates a lot with Old Testament scriptures such as Psalm 37 verse 8, specifically now regarding anger. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. In Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9 it says, be not quick in your spirit to become angry. Same words. For anger lodges in the hearts of fools. And the last one I'll refer to in the Old Testament here is Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife. I'm sure all of you can recall a moment when you experienced somewhere an explosion of anger or uncontrolled rage, almost, you know, this explosion. Some of us might have grown up witnessing it regularly, and a lot of times when we recall these events, when we think about events where this happened, we think of it, if we ourselves had these outbursts, we think about it with shame. And it's absolutely humiliating for the person being held upon, and this anger might even go into physical abuse. So if you recall a moment like this when you've seen this outburst, I think most of you will also recall that you probably wanted to run away from it. You wanted to get as far away from it as possible. And people moving around people like this have to be on their toes. They just have to be careful not to set this person again onto one of these outbursts. And you try and keep them from, you don't want to agitate them. So most of us have had experience, or we might have had an experience of this negative side of anger, the sinful side of anger. And the Bible even warns us further in Proverbs 22 verse 24 to 25. It says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. So if we go back again to other scriptures, which will maybe show a bit more light, shine more light on what the first verses were saying. Remember, we started with quick to hear, slow to speak. In Psalm 81 verse 13 it says, but my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. In Psalm 95 verse 7 to 8 it says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And in the New Testament, Mark 9 says, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And in the New Testament, it also emphasizes the fact that we should pay much closer attention to what we have heard. And this is in Hebrews 2, verse 1. It also says, it was first declared by the Lord. And Jesus himself said, those who have ears, let them hear. So hear the word of the Lord. So to understand James and what he's communicating, we need to go back to the previous text, as I've already said. We're doing a bit of a recap. I've preached last on James 1. And we started with this first section, so maybe a lot of you haven't heard that. But in James 1, it starts out, so it's important for us to understand, if we look at that, that James is talking to Jewish believers, the first Jewish believers. And so they are Christian, and this is important to us, because he's not talking, when we're looking at this advice that's given, or this wisdom saying, he's talking to people that were confronted with the gospel. So secondly, it's closely related. It's the first Jewish believers, but they had trials. They were in exile. They were persecuted. So we previously addressed this, what James 1 was saying, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet all trials of various kinds. And we looked at these different trials. And James said, these trials are testing our faith. And he said, if you're going through these trials and you lack wisdom to understand what God is doing, pray for that. Pray for that wisdom that you might have, that insight, and do not doubt. Then we also looked at trials, but it ended off in saying that all good gifts are from God in that section before this. All good gifts are from God. And firstly, that is Christ, that is a gift to us. But these trials are also a gift to us, to form us and to change us. So blessed are those who are steadfast under these trials. So if we look at that, as we look at James now again, and we look at this background context, this is not a separate wisdom saying. A lot of people want to refer to this in a separate isolation. Yeah, you've got to listen, you've got to... I'm not quick to speak, but it's not in isolation. So now when James states quick to hear, it's also like Barry preached last week, and he said when he got to a specific section speaking about the women in church, he was saying, now listen. He's saying, listen. When you experience these hardships, these trials, these difficult times, that's the background. Be slow to speak. To say something about it. Be be quick to listen to what? To the ultimate wisdom, the advice of God Himself, through His Word and the ones who heard Him, and then slow to anger. Why? In James 1 verse 20 it says, it gives us the answer, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. James was focusing on the fact that these trials test our faith and we should count it all joy. God is at work in us. And here again it focuses on what is right in God's eyes. What is his righteousness. So in the Old Testament, when it talks about righteousness, it can use two words, or there's two words that can mean the same thing, or that's in this realm described as justice and righteousness. God is just, but He's also righteous. He determines what is right, and He deals with sin, or will punish or judge it ultimately. So it's in our action we want to deal with a situation, or under this trial we tend to react. So if we have a trial or we're going through a difficult time, we want to maybe establish our justice, our righteousness. And it might be due to our pride that we're reacting in anger. It might be being hurt, or we're not prepared. It's a lack of repentance, or we might be caught in sin that we're acting in this anger. But James gives us a warning, and it says, your reaction, it does not produce the righteousness of God. In Romans 10 verse 3, while it was talking about unbelieving Jews, it states something that will help us maybe also. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. So then we need to know, what is God's righteousness? What is God's righteousness? And I want us to turn now to Romans 3 verse 21, because in Romans 3 verse 21 to 26, it actually mentions this righteousness, God's righteousness, four times. And it explains it to us clearly. So if you can turn to Romans 3, verse 21. Romans 3, verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God, here it's mentioned the first time, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Okay, so let's stop there. So this is something new manifested to us. This righteousness of God is apart from the law. So here's the law, what they had, and something new had to be shown. Something had to be manifested. But he says this law and the prophets bear witness to it. So the law that, like what Ben read, that was part of the law, was how the sacrifices had to be done. So this law bears witness to what Jesus was going to do. But the law also bears the righteousness of God. The prophets on the other side were prophesying that Jesus would come, that there will be a new covenant, that He will take away the sin of the world. So God is revealing Himself the whole time. And this righteousness of God had to be manifested apart from the law. Okay, so the first thing that we learn is the righteousness of God, that He says our anger is not producing, had to be shown to us. Okay, so first it had to be shown. And then it carries on. Verse 22. Again, mentioned the second time. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So this is how you get it. So first it's explained that it has to be shown. Then it's how you get it, through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. So the righteousness is how we get it. Then we read further. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by the grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. We'll just carry on and we'll come back to that one. This was to show God's righteousness. So it's not talking about our righteousness, it's talking about God's righteousness. So first, it had to be revealed. Second is we get it through faith. The third one is it's God's righteousness. And this word propitiation by His blood can mean something like satisfying the anger of something, to be something that's presented and settles the anger of God. And maybe this is the key, how God wants to deal with anger. He says, don't let your anger, but His anger is dealing with sin. So it's God's righteousness how to deal with a situation. And then we carry on. Because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins, it was to show His righteousness, again, His righteousness, at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So let's just repeat that. It's His righteousness. What is it? It's revealed from God. What is His righteousness? How to achieve it? By faith. What it is? It's the blood of Jesus that is redeeming us. And it's God's to give. He gives it as a free gift. And He gives it to us. Just to highlight this, in Romans 10 verse 4 it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believe. This was God's plan. And even to take it a step further, in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 it says, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So God reveals His righteousness, He shows how we get it, and then it's His, but He gives, He makes us His righteousness. Okay, so if we move on. So then if our anger is not creating God's righteousness, what is James saying? He's saying, so let's look at it again, be quick to listen. To what? And to who? To God Himself, to His messengers, to His apostles. They have seen His glory, they have seen His miracles, the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead raised. They have heard His voice. Be slow to speak, slow to react in anger. But then James completes the answer of what to do if we're not to act in anger. He says in verse 21, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. When we first came to Christ, we had to come in humility. You had to come humbling. You have to say, I cannot do it out of my own. And the same way James is saying, we need to come under these trials in meekness. We need to repent of the things that's still in our life, the filthiness, the rampant wickedness, and receive the implanted word. That was the promise. This is what the prophets were saying. God is going to give the word. He's going to put it into your heart. So by putting away the filth, we putting the word into our hearts the whole time. This is, we're establishing it in our hearts. That word that you're putting in there is the ones you should be quick to listen to. The words that drives you to the righteousness of God. God knows how to deal with sin and put it to death. But it's a strong word that Paul then James is using here, save your souls. And this is not talking about the saving of your life, of your soul for salvation. It's not talking about that. It's continual growth and sanctification. Save you from your own reaction, from your anger reaction. It saves you from, it takes you back to the righteousness of God. It saves you from this situation that you're in, this trial, and makes you to be steadfast, counting it all joy that God is working with you. Saving you from the way that you could have acted, saving you from the way that you could have thought. In short, you will become mature. You're becoming mature. The word will be real in your heart. Just think of this picture. Acts 9 verse 1 says, but Saul still bringing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. It just starts like that. But this is the crowd that James is talking about. Saul threatened the church. He put some in chains. He even was responsible, was at Stephen's death. So if you were part of the crowd that James is writing to, you've probably lost your house. You're in exile. And you persecuted by your fellow brethren. And if you're in their situation under those trials, what anger and hate you could have had. And who was probably responsible for that? Paul. And the irony is, what was God's plan for Paul? The righteousness of God. This is how God handles the wrongdoing against them regarding Paul. This is how he wants to deal with it. So just a reminder, Romans 12 verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. This is a reminder. In the end, the Lord will judge those who did not choose His righteousness, and He will deal with it justly. So Paul carries on and he continues to urge us on, and he says from verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So by acting on James's words, you are listening, and when you put away these sins and when you change, you are a doer of the word. And this is my argument. This is the central theme of the whole book of James. It all comes down to action. It's a doer of what you believe. Now, James uses a strange term here, and it's nowhere else used in the Bible. It's used two times. And it's both times used in James, James 1 verse 25 and James 2 verse 12, this law of liberty. He uses this term, law of liberty. And James calls it even the perfect law. And this is the mirror we are looking into. The law of the Old Testament as interpreted and fulfilled by Christ, although good, it did not in itself have the power to help the sinner. The law could not liberate us. But in the Old Testament, we understand that God is the ultimate authority, and He is sovereign and almighty, and He determines what is right and wrong. He establishes the law. But here is a reference to something else, to something that God establishes as the law of liberty. If you translate it different, it says the law of that which makes us free. So if we look back, remember at the righteousness of God, we sing, it had to be revealed to us what this is. The law is supposed to create order and determine what is right. And even Paul uses another term, but it's the same thing. He talks about the law of faith in a similar argument. He says in Romans 3 verse 27, what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. And then he later talks in verse 31, do we then overthrow the law of faith by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So this law of liberty puts the law of God in our hearts and we uphold the law. So the person who looks into this mirror remembers, is compared to the person looking into this law of liberty. And James calls it the perfect law, because it establishes what the first law could not: the righteousness of God and our righteousness. So keep on looking into this mirror. Do not forget the free gift. Do not forget Christ took on and bore our sins in his body, and persevere in trials and what you see in this perfect law. In 2 Corinthians 3 verse 16 to 18 it says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Again, this law of freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we're looking into this mirror, and God's Spirit is at work with us, and we're looking into this perfect law, and we're supposed to change. We're supposed to change from one degree of glory to the next. But he says, if we look into this law, this law of liberty, and perseveres, again, it's action from James that he's saying. But he gives a promise. He said, you will be blessed. They will be blessed in their doing. The word will be implanted in you. James keeps on focusing on the action, the persevere. But there's a promise here. The doing of the word will change you. It will bless you. This will mean you will change. This blessing is the change that God wants to bring in you. It will save you from this trial. It will save you from your thoughts. It will save you from what you would have done. So James uses strong words again as he carries on, because he says further, if anyone thinks he is religious, just go back. What he said is, again, it's strong word. If you're not a doer of this, but a hearer only, you're deceiving yourself. Strong words. And he carries on with this deceiving as we go to the final verses in 26. If anyone thinks he is religious, but does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Deceived in your heart, bridle your tongue. It's again action, something that you should do. So I would not preach about that further, because James, in James 3, is dealing with the tongue in a whole separate portion of the scripture. But it focuses on the fact that if you're not talking the right way, you should change. If your talk is not honoring God, if your talk is not glorifying God, then there's change needed. Again, action from James. Then James ends the section with, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world. So it ends with justice again. God in the Old Testament wanted justice for those who could not help themselves and who are in this affliction, and it's the orphans and the widows. And lastly, holiness. It's action again. We need to be holy. keep oneself unstained from the world. So may we seek in our actions the righteousness of God, that others will have the faith in God. That's why he says, pray for your enemies. You do not know who's those that still has to come into the kingdom of God. Let your actions, as he's saying, listen, don't be quick to give your own opinion. Go to God's opinion. Establish God's righteousness. What was revealed to you, what's revealed to us, is a gift from God through faith in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, may your word be implanted in our hearts. May we be keeping on planting the seeds of your word in our hearts. May we ponder and keep on looking into your perfect law, into your law of liberty, your law of faith. May we be doers of your word. May we show your righteousness. May we live your righteousness. May we be the righteousness that you've given to us. Thank you that you are the one who determines what is right. And you've chosen this route to deal with sin, and righteously so, through the death and blood of your Son. We thank you, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.